Never in your Bibles, but you can turn in your Bibles to Exodus 35. I think I used to say that all the time. Turn over in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 35, and I will not be dealing with the text yet. In Exodus chapter 35, mainly in chapter 35 and the first part of chapter 36, we find out this truth that the wheel is not independent.
Exactly.
Okay? The wheel is not independent. Now, I will look at these things, Lord willing, in more detail later, God willing, from the Scripture. But not only is the wheel not independent, the wheel is dependent.
Exactly.
Okay? Of course, one of the passages is chapter 35, verse 5, where it says, "Whosoever is of a willing heart." And then again in chapter 5, 35, verse 21, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing." Let me just stop to say that the heart and the spirit are two separate parts of what make up humanity, but they are connected. They cannot be separated. Then, of course, in verse 22, "And they came," and I believe there's a reason for this, and it's not just some physical reason, that they came, both men and women, as many as were what? Willing-hearted. And then again in verse 29, "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing."
Yes.
So we see here that the spirit and the heart do not merely aid the wheel, but they what? They control the wheel. The wheel's controlled by the heart and the spirit. And then, of course, it goes on to acknowledge that this heart and spirit that made these people willing came from where? It came from God.
Amen.
It did not come from themselves.
Exactly.
That's in verses 30 all the way down through 36 and verse 7 basically. Now again, this text is in the affirmative. This is a positive text. But I've been dealing with the negative for the past 2 weeks, and I intend on doing so again. Remember, free will is a lie.
Yeah.
The will of mankind is not free.
Exactly.
It's not free. And in Adam, we fail completely. Yes. That is, even our will fail.
Amen.
There are those who try to teach that, yes, we fail completely except for the will. But Scripture does not bear testimony to this. And the Scripture is what matters, not human reasoning, not philosophy. It's what thus saith the Lord God.
Amen.
And somebody says, you would take the word of the Bible even over philosophical arguments. That is exactly right.
Sure.
No matter how reasonable those philosophical arguments may sound. And especially no matter how emotional those philosophical arguments are. Because most of these philosophical arguments for free will are based upon emotion. Because it's this. It's not, well, if man doesn't have a free will, then man's this. That's not really the problem. It's if man doesn't have a free will, then that means God is this. And they don't like who God is. That's the problem. That's the problem. Now, let me just to review again briefly the three things I gave you last Sunday. Number one, man does have a will.
Yes, sir.
Yes, people are going to misinterpret what we say. We can't help that.
Yeah.
But let it not be because we do not plainly say what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
We're not teaching man does not have a will. We're teaching what Scripture teaches. Man has a will, but it is totally corrupted.
Exactly.
And secondly, we are not saying that God does not put before men different options, even opposing options. I gave you three examples of that.
Yeah.
And there are more than that in the Scripture. That God, let me put it in the positive. Number two, God does put before man even opposing options. Remember, not just what kind of cereal you're going to choose in the morning, not that kind of thing, but even life and death questions,
yes,
life and death options. And thirdly, men make choices all the time.
Yes, sir.
We make choices all the time,
oh, yeah,
whether they're evident or not. We choose this over that, these over those, you know, this person over that person, this thing over that thing. We do that on a constant, everyday basis. But I gave you three precedents. You remember the precedents? It's true. Man has a will. Man makes choices all the time. And God does put before men opposing options. But these three things are true. No matter what philosophy. Now, men, if that's true, then this must be true. No, that is true. But God's word is still the basis.
Exactly.
And here are three precedents set in Scripture. Man's choices never frustrate God's purpose.
Exactly.
Never.
Amen.
Never. Man may choose this over that.
Oh, yeah.
And he may choose the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? He may even choose what God commanded him not to choose. And he always does, apart from grace. He may choose that which God commands him not to choose, but it still cannot frustrate God's purpose.
Amen.
The second precedent is this. Even choices of chance, like rolling dice, okay? Even choices of chance are determined by God.
Yes, sir.
The Scripture puts it much more than God simply lets men make choices, then God kind of works those choices into his purpose. That's the way some people teach it, but that's not the way Scripture presents God, his purpose, or men's choices.
Yeah.
God Almighty determines what will be done. God determines what will come to pass, even in choices of chance. Thirdly, and this is all connected. These are not three discombobulated precedents. They're all three true because of who God is.
Yes, sir.
Thirdly, God determines the end, not human will.
That's it.
God determines the end, not human will. Now, Scripture speaks of various choices made by men. This book is replete with all kinds. We can start from the beginning,
oh, yeah,
all the way down to the end, can't we? You can see choices. This choice made after that. That choice. Choose this over that. All of these things. But I've categorized these choices into five different areas. Not that there are only five, but that's all I've got to give you.
Yeah.
Okay? One, first of all, these are not in any certain order other than for this fact. And let me just give it for you. After looking at man's choices, any person with any spiritual wisdom will not want to rest on human choices.
Exactly.
That'll be the whole point of this message.
Yeah.
After looking at human choices, a person is wise spiritually not to rest in human choices. And even David, I mentioned David, remember David numbered God's people. He counted them, is what he did. He numbered them, which he was specifically forbidden to do.
Exactly.
And he was given what? Three choices. And what did he do? He chose to fall into the hands of God.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because David relied on God's covenant mercy.
Amen.
It was God's choice that David was relying on, not his.
Exactly.
David knew that his God controlled his enemies. David knew that God controlled the universe and the created earth. But he didn't choose those things, David. He chose to fall into the hands of God himself.
Yeah.
Why? Because God's choice is always the right choice.
Exactly.
No matter what the outcome is. Listen, some people are going to heaven. People say that's a good outcome. Yeah, it is. But some people are going to the lake of fire. And that's still a God-glorifying, and that's the way I'm going to put it, a God-glorifying outcome.
Yes, sir.
Because it will glorify God's justice and wrath.
Yes, sir.
And Scripture's quite clear, God's pleased to show his wrath.
Amen.
Willing, it even says. Not just pleased. What if God willing to show his wrath? God has willed, he has actually purposed to show his wrath. wrath.
Yes, sir.
So, first of all, let's look at these various choices made by man. Man makes evil choices.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's quite clear, is it not? Now turn, or be turning to, 2 Peter chapter 2. And I don't figure anybody here would disagree with that. If you do, then you haven't been listening very well for the past 25 years. No, man makes evil choices. And actually, Mason and I were talking about this a little. But usually, mankind always thinks that evil choices are quite clearly black.
Yeah.
And good choices are always quite clearly white. Yeah. That's the illustration we get. The difference between black and white. But there are what I'm going to term scriptural gray areas.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you hear a preacher preach on the absolute sovereignty of God Almighty, that what He purposes will come to pass and no one can stay that God's hand. What would you say about that? Boy, there's a man preaching the truth. And you know what? You'd be right.
Yeah.
What if you heard that man preach that God has a special people? A people that He's chosen unto Himself, and He's also purposed to bless that people in such a way that no one can curse those people.
Yeah.
That these people being blessed of God could not be cursed. What if you heard somebody preach that? You say, that guy believes in election, don't you? Huh? And you know what? You'd probably be right. What if you found out from that fellow's preaching that all of this is according to God's sovereign purpose and it cannot be changed no matter what? You'd probably say, well, that's Walter Pendleton.
Uh-huh.
No, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't think of me first. You know what we'd say? There's a man that seems like he knows the God of heaven. Right? Well, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says here concerning some people. Okay, let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. 2 Peter, yeah, chapter 2. Listen to what he says, what Peter is going to say about these people, which have forsaken the right way. Now notice something.
Yeah.
They have forsaken the right way.
Yeah.
This is not merely so black and white that they were never in the right way. They have what? Forsaken the right way.
Yeah.
This is a clear indication that at one time they were where? A part of or within the realm of the right way.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because they have forsaken the right way and are what? Gone astray.
Yeah.
Following the way of Balaam. Now go back sometime and read the account of Balaam.
Yes,
he preached one of the strongest sermons in Scripture for the absolute sovereignty of God Almighty and His blessing of His people, whereby no man could defile them.
Yes, sir.
And yet this man is linked up as a prime example of an apostate.
Yes, sir.
And he made the wrong decision. He chose to go when he shouldn't have went. But you know what? God told him he could. Did you know that? You go back there and read the account. The first thing God says, He says, Lord, he looked for an answer from Yahweh.
Yeah.
That's who he looked for an answer from. Yeah,
yes,
the God of Abraham. Okay?
Yes,
and God gave his answer. No.
Exactly.
You will not try to defy these people for this heathen king. And what did he say? He told the messengers of the king, I can't do it. The Lord God forbids me to do that.
Yes, sir.
Now he done the right thing. He made the right choice to start with.
Yeah.
And then this king, realizing he hadn't got his way, sent more messengers, mightier, of more authority and more power and more gifts back and says, you need to do this for me. Come to me quickly. And you know what Balaam decided? I believe I'll ask the Lord again.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Did he think God had changed his mind? Wait a minute. This is the same man who would later preach the message God is not a man that he should repent.
Exactly.
Is it? And God said this to Balaam, if they come, you go. And guess what? They came, and he went. And guess what? It says God was sore displeased with him. Why? Because God had already told him the right choice.
Exactly.
Hmm? The right choice. You see, what Peter's saying is, Balaam, boy, he's a bad example. He's kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to the negative of evil choices. But Peter's saying that there were, chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be what? False teachers among you.
Yes, sir.
And why do they preach what they preach? Yeah. For what they can personally get out of it. That's the whole thing. Just because a man preaches the truth doesn't mean he really knows the God of heaven and earth.
That's true.
Doesn't necessarily mean that that person is of God. Look, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of what? Unrighteousness. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the what? The madness of the prophet.
Yes, sir.
So it's not always so black and white, is it? Other than the fact, if God says do this, then what are we to do? Do that. If God says don't do this, what should we not do? What he said not to do. It is that clear.
Yes, sir.
It is that clear. And remember, God doesn't change his mind.
That's right.
God doesn't change his mind. So men make evil choices, but still speak the truth. Can't they? Still speak the truth. Secondly, men make choices of self-deception. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. That is, men can make choices, but before we even get into the text itself, men and women make choices which on the surface seem to be good choices.
Yeah.
Okay, and let me see if I can find the middle part of it here. Oh, here it is, verse 16. Let me just read that part first. Of Joshua 24, verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Sounded pretty good so far, don't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. The Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is God. Well, how can you fault that? Huh?
That's it.
That would be a message in any Armenian Baptist church today and be preached in the affirmative, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, but let's actually get the context of what is being said here. And what's being done here. Joshua chapter 24. And this now began in verse 19. Or let's go on to see what in verse 19. Yeah. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
They just said they would.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They've just Mason chosen to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
They've just acknowledged his marvelous works and wonders. Have they not? I mean, if anybody come to you and said, here's my God, here's what he's done for me, we'd have them in the water before next Sunday, wouldn't we? We'll sign them up, right?
Yeah.
What's Joshua say? Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Boy, now you don't hear no messages preached like that today, do you? Huh? If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Do you see that? And the people said unto Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua's trying to warn them, don't make this commitment. Right? Don't say this about yourself. You can't do it. You cannot fulfill what you're choosing to do. That ain't even a real good Calvinistic message, is it? Now I'm being lost, a little tongue-in-cheek. The people said unto Joshua, No, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses, what? Against yourselves.
Amen.
That ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. Now therefore, he said, all right, you chose this, now do it then.
Exactly.
Right? In other words, old Earl, you say, well, bless Pat, do it then. Mm-hmm. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which were among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And you know what? From that day forward, guess what began to happen?
Yeah.
They began to rebel. Yeah. Began to rebel. You remember the mountain? Went up on the mountain. Moses did. And everybody said, when Moses, they said, all the words of the Lord we will do. And before Moses even got back down from the top of the mountain, they had already took all of their jewelry, made a golden calf, and called it the God that had delivered them out of Egypt.
That's exactly right.
Now, you want to rest on your own choice? You want to talk about how you're going to serve God?
Yeah.
You want me to depend upon... Now, I bet you every one of us in here has made a statement similar to that right there, haven't we? I serve the Lord. I serve God. I know the truth. I believe the truth. We say these things all day long, but are you resting in that? Is that what's going to get you to the ultimate goal of being forever with Jesus Christ? No, it's not. No, it's not. Why? Because we make choices of self-deception.
Yes, sir.
That's number two. We make evil choices. Some of them, they are... They become, let me put it that way, the evil, they become clear over a period of time. This did not seem so clear at first other than to Joshua. Joshua knew better. Joshua knew what they were like.
Yeah.
Right? Joshua knew what they, himself included, what they were. He'd just been through it for what? 40 years with them in the wilderness.
Exactly. That's it.
So we make evil choices. And we make choices of self-deception. And there are times, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, there are times when a man, here or there, will make the right choice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Make a good choice. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, two verses there, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what? Choosing rather. To suffer affliction.
Yeah.
Now this is almost the adverse to human nature, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course it is. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. He looked for the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Now some people have Moses kind of looked into this, you know.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened for Moses was looking for the Messiah. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt.
Exactly.
He made the right decision, did he not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he did. But how did he do it? Yeah. The first two words we read in verse 24, by faith.
Amen.
Now let me tell you, by faith is the only right decision you'll ever make.
Yeah, exactly.
Because something that's not of faith is what?
Faith.
Sin.
Exactly.
You see? Sin. No matter how good it may appear.
Oh, yeah.
All of that preaching by Balaam was what? Sin. Was it not?
Yeah.
All of the boast of Israel. We'll serve the Lord. We'll put away the strange gods from among us. That's what we're going to do. What was it? A witness against themselves.
Exactly. That's it.
The only time you and I have ever made, ever or ever will make a right decision, it will have to be by faith.
Amen.
And you don't have to have me preach to you. You know where that comes from. Exactly. That comes from God as a gift.
Yeah.
So we make evil choices, but they're not always right at first so evident, yeah. Are they? We make choices of self-deception. We may even deceive those around us.
Yeah.
There may not be a Joshua in the midst, yeah. In a sense. You know what I'm saying? We may deceive ourselves and everybody around us. Sometimes men make the right decision. They make the right choice. Now, number four. But men have also made hateful, wicked choices. I mean, just flat out hateful, wicked choices.
Oh, yeah.
I gave you this one and you're aware of it. You know that the selling of Jacob, wasn't it? Well, no. Joseph. By his brethren. That was not the first intent. They were intent on killing their brother.
Exactly.
That is a hateful, wicked choice.
Yes, sir.
Providence didn't prevail.
Yeah.
Providence fell into place.
Yeah.
Okay. Providence didn't prevail. That's what most people say. Providence kind of prevailed. No, Providence was falling into place. Every tumbler in the lock was falling into its proper place to where finally the door of God's sovereign purpose was opened up before Joseph.
Amen.
Now, he didn't see that at first, did he? But every tumbler was falling into place as God turned the key. But think about that. These choices by these brothers was wicked and hateful, and Joseph acknowledged it so.
Yes,
he didn't say, "I thank God for you."
No, he didn't.
Did he?
No.
He said, "You meant this to me for evil."
Yeah.
But God meant it for good. Now here's the whole point. Let me say it, the rest of it. Men have made hateful and do make hateful. We sometimes make hateful and wicked choices.
Yes, sir.
And yet that very same thing God may purpose for good.
Amen.
You know that? The very same dastardly deed.
Yeah.
Now, here's another passage. Now, we can look at Joseph. That's an example. But here is the prime example. Acts chapter 4. And you're aware of this. This is no new doctrine to anyone here as far as I know. Acts chapter 4. Verse 23. And it's talking about the disciples now. And they've been locked up. But it says, and being let go, they went to their own company. And I've said this before, and every time I read that, now I can't help but think of that. That's the best place to go when you've been in trouble. You know, when you've been around the world, the best place to go is to those of your own company. And you know who that is?
Yeah.
It's the people of God.
Exactly.
I know God hasn't ordained it that way. That's why I don't sit around and try to mumble and murmur about it. But I would rather meet with you all every evening if we could. At least every day if we could. And be together. But you know what? We just can't. But the point is, in being let go, where'd they go? To their own company. My family are the people that believe the gospel of the free reigning grace of God in Christ.
Amen.
It is not my blood kin. And even if one of them hears this, I know it will come over as hard and mean, and it is.
Yeah.
When you look at it from a human perspective.
Yeah.
But when it comes to God's word, Christ said, "Who is my family?" It's those that hear the word of God and keep it, not do it. Keep it. The word there is like somebody grabs something and pulls it into their bosom. That's what it's not by. I keep God's word. I obey everything God says. That's not what he's talking about. They hear the word of God, they latch onto it, and they pull it in here tight. They keep it. That's the family. And that's who they went to.
Yeah.
And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, that is, the people heard this from the men who were let go. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." This is not simply a statement about God being the creator. You've made it. A creator controls.
Yes, sir.
That's the whole. If you don't just create something and then lay it out there.
Yeah.
A creator controls what he creates. who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.
Amen.
For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now what does it say? Against.
Exactly.
Not for.
Yeah.
But against him. All of these people whom I've heard it said before, who could not get along together at all, other than to get along together against the Lord and his Christ.
Yeah. Exactly.
Herod and Pontius Pilate despised one another. The Jews and the Gentiles despised one another. The Jews despised Pontius Pilate and Herod. The Gentiles didn't like them too well either.
Exactly.
But they could all get together for what? To raise up against the Lord and his Christ.
Amen.
And we know what they did.
Yes, sir.
Don't we? They ultimately crucified the Lord of glory. They spit in his face. They hit him with their fists. They mocked him in open, naked shame, hanging on a tree. Did they not?
Yes, sir.
If you be the Son of God, some of them said, you come on down from the cross. That's a mockery, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a mockery. And they did it by lying about him, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
They brought false witnesses against him. He'd done nothing wrong, had he?
Exactly.
Even one said, I don't find anything wrong with him.
Exactly.
Did he? But then he does the political thing. I wash my hands of this like he could.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like he could.
That's it.
And he turned him over to the people, didn't he?
Yeah.
Turned him over to the people. But why? What did these disciples say about that? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel, and that next word, determined before, is the same word translated predestinated.
Amen.
Determined before to be done.
Amen.
You see, even the most dastardly, wicked, hateful deed ever perpetrated on earth by men was predestinated by God to happen.
Amen.
Did Peter then on the day of Pentecost say, boy, I thank God for you folks. Huh? Is that the way he talked to them? He said, no, you by wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
Yeah, wicked hands. Let me tell you, there is no justification for our sin. No matter how small or great, there is never any justification for man's rebellion against God. Yet God Almighty purposed even that for his glory and the good of his people. And that's just the way it is.
Yep. Amen.
God will damn some of those very... God has already damned. Some of them are already... They're already in hell today.
Yes, sir.
Who crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Why? For crucifying the Lord of glory.
Exactly. That's it.
For bringing false accusation against him. They're in hell for that today. But you know what? Those very same event, seeing that it was centered around the blessed Son of God, save my soul.
Yes, sir.
Save my soul. So again, it is true. Men have made hateful and do make hateful. We make hateful, wicked choices. And yet that very same thing God Almighty can purpose for good. But here's another one. God punishes evil choices.
Yeah.
That's the fifth one. God punishes evil choices. Now we all know, well, and Penny and I have talked about this several times this past week because of certain events that transpired, which I'm not going to go into, at least right now. But there are those who would excuse, or at least trying to excuse their sin because of God's sovereignty, because of God's sovereign grace. And when someone would attempt to speak out, they point their finger at the messenger and say, but you're no better.
Hell yeah.
You've done the same thing you're accusing me of.
Yep.
Well, first of all, let me say, ain't nobody accusing you of anything. They're just stating the facts.
Yeah.
Ain't no accusations about it. Here's the problem. God punishes evil choices, but those evil choices are always, they're not always so clearly evident either. I've already mentioned this. Think about it. Just think about this. No, everybody probably here already heard of this. Maybe not, though. You're bringing back God's ark. Not Noah's ark. God's ark. The Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, sir.
That box that was overlaid with gold, that had the mercy seat set on it with the cherubims facing one another and their wings come up together. That place where God came down and sat.
Yes, sir.
Right? The Shekinah glory of God, David came down and sat between the wings of those two angels. And you're bringing back that ark. A joyous occasion. People are playing the cymbals and the timbrels and the psalteries and the blowharps, and they've got the electric guitars and the drums out. And they're all having a good time. But guess what? God decides to kill somebody on that day.
Yes, sir.
Just cause when that thing was being brought back and it come through the threshing floor there, that one fella, and the oxen stumbled and that thing was on a cart and that ark began to teeter-totter a little bit, and Uzziah put his hand up like that to steady the ark. What's wrong with that?
Exactly.
What's wrong with that? Uzziah wasn't the one that decided to do all this to start with.
No.
Who was the one that chose to do it all this way? David did.
Yeah.
And yet Uzziah was just acting what? Naturally. Like probably any of us would do. And reach his hand up and touch that ark. And when he did, God killed him dead right there.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? And then, as we'll look at it, God willing, later, people go to Exodus 35. Well, that's just about gold and silver and cloth and thread. No, this is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God had expressly told any Jew how to move that ark. Put the staves in it, cover it up with the proper coverings, and put it on the back of the priest and carry it wherever it goes. And what David decided to do? To use two oxen and a brand new cart.
Oh, yeah.
And Uzziah paid the price for it.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? Uzziah paid, not David. Uzziah paid the price for it. Now you think about that. Did God punish the wrong person? No. God punished the right person, but there's another person that could have been punished, and God didn't do it.
Yeah.
Did he?
That's it.
Did he strike David dead for allowing all that, for doing all this? You see, here's the point. God shows mercy sovereignly.
Amen.
And if I or you try to excuse your sin based upon the fact, well, somebody else has done it too, you're a fool.
That's it.
You're a fool. You show, I don't care how much you talk about sovereign grace. I believe in election. You don't understand it if you try to justify your sin against God based upon somebody else's sin against God.
Yeah, that's it.
Think about who was Nadab and Abihu. They went in and all they did was get fire from the wrong place.
That's right.
By most people's thoughts, and it doesn't really say, most people feel that the fire that was to go inside, that they put the incense on to light the candle, was supposed to come off of the brazen altar outside. That's the only place fire was to be. Was on that brazen altar where the sacrifices were offered. And it's basically understood that the priest would take fire, they'd get them a shovel, they had shovels and stuff, pans, and they'd get them a thing of coals, put it on their censer, and put incense on it, and they would enter into the holy place. Nadab and Abihu didn't do that. It says they took strange fire. Didn't it? They took strange fire. And when they walked into that place, as Scott Richardson said, he said they drug them boys out by their heels. God killed them right there in the tabernacle.
Yes,
and yet I read about David going in there and getting the showbread.
Yep.
That he wasn't supposed to do. See, God shows mercy sovereignly.
Yes.
Don't ever excuse your sin for any reason.
Exactly.
Is it? God punishes evil choices, and they always are not the child molesting, is it? It's not always the drunk laying there underneath the bridge, is it? You know, I've said it this way, and some people just don't get it. They still don't get it. Let me tell you, there's one person that's qualified to tell you being a drunk under a bridge ain't a good thing for you. You know who that is? The drunk under the bridge. He knows. But I tell you what, if he really knows how bad it is, he'll tell you, don't end up where I'm at. Won't he? You see, that's all that I'm doing, Joe's doing, that's all you're doing when you try to tell somebody else the truth of God. We're all sinners, but don't ever excuse your sin for any reason.
That's it.
You know, our Lord said, God said, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds, but don't let a man strive with his maker, because you'll lose. You may win, strive. You may argue with Walter, and you may win the argument, but you won't win the argument with God. Why? Here's the thing. Here's the whole thing. Should we trust or rest or have dependency on our human choices? You better not. I'm going to tell you, as I begin to look through the Bible on choices, decisions people made, there's a whole lot more bad ones than there are good ones that men made in the Bible. Already, Mason, the odds are stacked against us.
Exactly.
You best not trust in your own will. Yeah, you got one. It ain't free. You got one.
Yeah.
But remember I told you this. Here's the thing. I got just a couple minutes. I want to read you one of the. Remember I told you that there is a sense in which fallen, depraved men are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that's at? Anybody remember that? Did you look for it? Romans chapter 6. Listen to what it says. Here's the only sense in which we are free. Romans chapter 6. This is about depraved men. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
Exactly.
The only thing we're free to do is not do the right thing.
Exactly.
We can't do that. For when you were the servants of sin, you were what? You were free from right. You could not do the right thing.
Amen.
That kills free will right there.
Yes, sir.
Because when we were the servants of sin, we were free from the right thing.
Exactly.
You see, apart from the sovereign grace of God, we cannot do the right thing, no matter how sincere it is.
Exactly.
Now, let me give you an example. Think of it. Men are free to act within the confines of their own evil heart. That's what some people teach. I even used to hold to this. Let me give you this. This is a Baptist church manual. It's the New Hampshire Declaration of Faith. It was actually published in the 1800s, 1853. It's not bad. But here's what it says. Of God's purpose of grace, we believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners, that being perfectly consistent with the free agency of man. Now let me just stop right now. There are those who think free agency and free will are the same thing. They're not. Free will is the doctrine, the teaching, that man's will is totally free and can choose either this way or that way on its own accord. Whichever way it's free to go. Free agency means that you are bound within a certain area.
Yeah.
And as it is taught by these Baptists and by many Baptists and others down through the ages, free agency is this. Men are free to act within the confines of their corrupt heart. Okay? They're free to act within the confines of their corrupt heart. But I say, no! No! You remember the time when Abraham went down south, took Sarah with him, met up with this one king, and he seen all the people in the land. And Abraham had said to himself and to Sarah, listen, there's no fear of God in this place. And you better tell them you're my sister. And I'll tell them you're my sister. And this king called Abimelech took Sarah into his own household. And God plagued that man's household because of that. Now, was that man acting within free agency? No, because he would have married that woman and slept with her had he been left to the confines of his own heart.
Yeah. That's right.
Because God told him, I withheld you from sinning.
Yeah.
I kept you from going any further than you did.
Exactly.
You see, free agents, we're not even free agents. We are not free. When we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. Right? Oh, but here's the glory of grace. Look at it. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. You were.
Yeah.
But ye have obeyed from the what? The heart. Why? Because the heart controls the will.
Yes, sir.
It never says you obey from the will.
No.
Never. You obey from what? The heart.
Yeah.
The spirit. You obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine to which you were, doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made what? Free from sin, you became the what? Slaves of righteousness.
Yes.
You see that? Yep. It doesn't say you're a doer of righteousness, does it? It says you're the slave of it.
Exactly.
You can't help but knowing there is right and there is wrong. And the wrong is always wrong. In God's sight, it is all black and white.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
In God's sight, it is all black and white. Well, and people ask, well, should I do this? Quit trying to drag me in on it.
Yeah.
Seriously. They'll ask you, should I do this? And just tell them, I refuse to give you advice.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the best thing to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know why they ask you those questions? I know why they ask me. I know why they ask you. So that when it falls apart, they can blame you.
Yeah.
Well, should I do this? And when you tell them, no, you shouldn't, you know what they do? What choices do they make? They go and do what they wanted to do anyway.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
Yep.
And don't you do too? Somebody tells me, you ought not do that. What do? I go do that.
Yep.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
But then you say, well, yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead and do that. And then it falls through and it don't work. You know what? They're going to be pointing their finger at you. But you know what? Sometimes it's just hard not to give advice.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when your advice, now, let me say this properly. There are times when your advice to them will be pearls cast before swine.
Yeah. You're right.
And there's a time when you stop giving the advice.
Exactly.
Simply for the truth's sake.
Yeah.
Just don't give it no more. I'm done with you. You know, they call you on the phone. You've done went over and over and over. Call you, on, you know what he said? I'm done with this. I've had to do that before. It ain't pleasant. I've had to do that before. I'm done. Just hang up on them.
Yeah.
And that's not the answer to the problem. That's the answer to your dilemma.
Yeah.
That's the answer to your dilemma. What does the scripture say? Ephraim has joined himself to his idols. Let him alone. Now, God didn't let him alone, did he? God promised he was going to bring him around. But God tells us, Ephraim's joined himself to his idols. Let him alone. You can't save him anyway.
Exactly.
And neither can I. Father, we pray as we, if we are allowed to proceed further in this, we may see thy truth, at least to some degree. And Lord, be brought ultimately to bow before thee in wonder and admiration and praise and thanks. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.